showed that under certain conditions the ship's long-range radar could trigger the sphere immediately it had been launched. The modification needed to overcome this defect was trivial, but it caused a delay of another month and was the source of much bad feeling between the naval staff and the scientists. We were ready for action again when Norton announced that the radius of effectiveness of the sphere had now been increased by 10, thus multiplying by 1,000 the chances of destroying an enemy ship. So the modification started all over again, but everyone agreed that the delay would be worth it. Meanwhile, however, the enemy had been emboldened by the absence of further attacks, and it made an unexpected onslaught. Our ships were short of torpedoes, since none had been coming from the factories, and were forced to retire. So we lost the systems of Kyrene and Floranus, and the planetary fortress of Ramsandron. It was an annoying but not a serious blow, for the recaptured systems had been unfriendly and difficult to administer. We had no doubt that we could restore the position in the near future as soon as the new weapon became operational. These hopes were only partially fulfilled. When we renewed our offensive, we had to do so with fewer of the spheres of annihilation than had been planned, and this was one reason for our limited success. The other reason was more serious. While we had been equipping as many of our ships as we could with the irresistible weapon, the enemy had been building feverishly. His ships were of the old pattern, with the old weapons, but they outnumbered ours. When we went into action, we found that the numbers ranged against us were often 100% greater than expected, causing target confusion among the automatic weapons and resulting in higher losses than anticipated. The enemy losses were higher still, for once a sphere had reached its objective, destruction was certain. But the balance had not swung as far in our favor as we had hoped. Moreover, while the main fleets had been engaged, the enemy had launched a daring attack on the lightly held systems of Ariston, Duranus, Carmanador, and Pharanodon, recapturing them all. We were thus faced with a threat only 50 light years from our home planets. There was much recrimination at the next meeting of the Supreme Commanders. Most of the complaints were addressed to Norton, Grand Admiral Taxaris in particular, maintaining that, thanks to our admittedly irresistible weapon, we were now considerably worse off than before. We should, he claimed, have continued to build conventional ships, thus preventing the loss of our numerical superiority. Norton was equally angry and called the naval staff ungrateful bunglers, but I could tell he was worried, as indeed we all were, by the unexpected turn of events. He hinted that there might be a speedy way of remedying the situation. We now know that research had been working on the battle analyzer for many years, but at the time it came as a revelation to us, and perhaps we were too easily swept off our feet. Norton's argument also was seductively convincing. What did it matter, he said, if the enemy had twice as many ships as we, if the efficiency of ours could be doubled or even trebled? For decades, the limiting factor in warfare had been not mechanical, but biological. It had become more and more difficult for any single mind or group of minds to cope with the rapidly changing complexities of battle in three-dimensional space. Norton's mathematicians had analyzed some of the classic engagements of the past, and had shown that even when we had been victorious, we had often operated our units at much less than half of their theoretical efficiency. The battle analyzer would change all this by replacing operation staff by electronic calculators. The idea was not new in theory, but until now it had been no more than a utopian dream. Many of us found it difficult to believe that it was still anything but a dream. After we had run through several very complex dummy battles, however, we were convinced.